I'm Bobby Blair from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 149. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Wincaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Bringing us into this week's chat was Bobby Blair, who's based in Virginia. He and a bunch of fun, loving cider folks were on the Normandy Cider Tour, and I just had to have one of them introduce this podcast because I miss those folks so much. And because of that cider tour, I was really inspired to bring forward another tour that I'll be speaking about shortly. And then we're going to get straight into Cider Days, helping you get prepared for one of the world's largest cider festivals that takes place every year for the past 24 years in my spot of Ciderville in Massachusetts. So start filling those glasses now because you're going to get thirsty when you hear all of the great events coming up and fun times to be had coming up in the first week in November. On November 1st, I am leading a New England cider tour, and I was so inspired to do this because November is a perfect time to go cruising around the countryside in New England. The leaves are down. You get to see the trees and the orchards in a different light. Tree bodies are absolutely beautiful. I do have an affection for that. I love looking at how they slope up and their crowns. It's really a beautiful time of the year. And we have a magnificent lineup of people to visit. I mean, Farnham Hill, that's Steve Wood. Farnham Hill, if you don't know that, you should, because without Farnham Hill, cider wouldn't have had the boost that it did. These are the people who are pounding the pavement. He and Louisa Spencer, way before cider was as well known as it is today. And what they do there is really something to witness. We're also going to be able to have growler fills to go at Farnham Hill, which we'll probably take back on the bus with us and have our little bag lunch, then head up to Eden and meet Eleanor Leger, who is renowned for her iced cider and having taught so many people, both in the U.S. and overseas, about iced cider. Then we make our way down on Route 100, and if you don't know Route 100 in Vermont, well, you are missing out because that is one stellar piece of highway that slopes and bobs along through the Vermont landscape, really gives you the flavor of the land. We go to Stowe, and then we head down for a cider dinner to cap off the evening. So it's a chilada with the folks at Fable Farm Fermentory in their big rustic barn next to the hearth. Check out their cider cellar. Look at the barrels where they are fermenting wild cider. We're going to have a little bit of everything here, including Teddy Weber from Tin Hat. He's going to be there, and Sebastian Lusader of Flag Hill Farm doing his organic off-the-grid cider. Also a cider maker who's been here for a very long time. So check it out. You have limited time to reserve by October 15th. That is tickety-tockety coming up the block here because this podcast is going live on the 10th. And if you don't reserve, you're probably going to miss out, which would be such a bummer because this is going to be so much fun. If Normandy is any indicator of what a cider tour could be, well, you do not want to miss out. You could reserve by going to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. In September of 2016, I posted an episode called Going to Cider Days, Insider Tips. That was episode number 46. Well, now we are in episode 149, and a lot has changed in between all those episodes. So I am posting this week on this here chat an update to some insider tips to help you prepare your travels to Cider Days so it is as successful as can be. Because if you go to ciderdays.org, you'll see a schedule of events and you'll get a sense of what's happening. But, and I speak as somebody who is actually on the Cider Days committee, we haven't really filled out some of the baseline needs and little insider tips that give you a flavor of our region and certainly how best to prepare. So that's where I'm going to start straight out is, how do you prepare for an indoor and outdoor cider fest that takes place the first weekend of November? I know everybody's different, but one thing I know about November is it is typically spectacular. Why? Because the leaves are down. I already mentioned that. And for anyone going on the New England Cider Tour, you get to see the trees. The leaves are down. It could be a little bit blustery. We never really know. Or as Mark Twain, who was a New Englander, used to say, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute, because it could change that fast. So my recommendation from the get-go is stay in touch with the weather. See what's going to happen and dress accordingly. As a rule of thumb, I always have at least a windbreaker or even a pretty warm winter jacket, because it could get cold standing outside in an orchard if that's what you're going to be doing, or just kind of hanging out tailgating, because a lot of that happens during Cider Days. It's on two sides of the Connecticut River, spanning Franklin County. And the county is pretty big. So you might find yourselves up in the hills, up in Ashfield, or you might find yourselves on the other side of the Connecticut River, up in another hill town called New Salem. And the elevation could, well, it's not like, let's say, being on Mount Rainier out in Washington, but it could get high enough, and you never really know. So dress warmly. And being kind of the wilderness scout that I've been in, certainly in early in my career, I always, on the day of, throw an extra pair of socks in my little rucksack, if you will. Because just changing a pair of socks during the day can really like warm up your whole body. And you got to take care of yourself, because this is all about pacing yourself. So when you go home, you'll be in top performance, so you will be able to think, okay, now how am I going to make my cider? What am I going to do? Or how am I going to share these bottles that I brought back home from Cider Days? So health, health, health is really important. Make sure you have a hat, you have gloves, and dress warmly. The other piece is you're going to need transportation, because the events could be kind of sprawled out. There's Greenfield, which is kind of like down in the valley. That's at base level where the Connecticut River is. And then if you go in either direction, east or west, you're going uphill and out and about into the countryside, which is really, really, really pretty. There's a reason why I live here. But you're going to be going up some nice meandering roads and making your way out to these little special spots. So you're going to need transportation. That is a given, no matter who you are or what you're doing. Maybe you could do that with friends. So warm clothes, you're going to need a car. And if you're not planning on traveling back, you need to get housing and you want to get on that now. Housing in terms of, you know, maybe an Airbnb or some hotels. Greenfield itself has, I think there's a 3 or 4 hotels of different varying sizes. There's a couple B&Bs in the area. Just do a Google search and start doing that now. Now, that is a good location for some reasons being in Greenfield, but you could also go up into the hill towns, and there are some options up in Shelburne Falls, which is a really pretty little town. They filmed a number of different movies up there. And there's a restaurant, a nice main street. So you could check out B&Bs out in that area. You could go as far out as shoot, you know, Buckland, there's a place called Stump Sprouts, and they might still have some openings there. Certainly, you could go a little south of the area down into Northampton. But if you start going further south than Northampton, you're really getting pretty far away from where Cider Days is. And let's face it, you know, you want to stay close to the event. So I wouldn't look much further south than Northampton for housing. I wouldn't go much further west than Buckland in that area. So if you're looking at a map, and if you go to the east, you could go out to, the French King Bridge has a little motor lodge out there that they just upgraded. That's not too far away. Let me see, going out towards New Salem, there are some B&Bs in Orange, so that's doable too. Although that is clear away from some of the events that are more Greenfield located. To the north, you could look at lodging in Brattleboro, which bring you right over the border. Truthfully, between Greenfield and Brattleboro, I would say it's about a 20-minute ride right on the highway, so you could just zoom right up there. There's also some lodging in Northfield. So I'm going to put this in the show notes so you can kind of get a sense of where to land, and maybe be able to put in some locations too, because all these are fine establishments that you could get yourself kind of little nested in. Now, next up, the basics of food and drink, which is a big part of Cider Days. Let's talk food, and I have the first pro tip for you attending Cider Days, which is be prepared. Make sure that in your little vehicle, whatever it is, with your friends, that you have some cheese, some nice local cheese, a couple little extra sandwiches, and you'll probably be good to go, because most of the locations that you're going to more or less might have some soup and bread, and some are a little bit more expansive. Let's go over them. If you arrive early and you go on the New England Cider Tour with me, which is part of my Totally Cider Tours, well, lunch and the cider dinner are included. And although it's not an official part of Cider Days, I do want to say this is the only cider dinner that's open up to the public. I know there's going to be private cider dinners happening for sure. Not that I've been invited to any of them, but I've opened mine to the public, where you could sit with cider makers and really have this magical pairing with food. So that's another hit for the New England Cider Tour, one reason why you want to sign up. Because in years past, there was always a cider dinner that was part of Cider Days, and it just got to be kind of like too much. So that's no longer happening. So if you want to actually experience a New England Cider Dinner, sign up for the New England Cider Tour at ciderchat.com at the Totally Cider page. When Cider Days kicks off on Friday, you're going to have some cheese, you're going to have some sandwiches. You could get the sandwiches at, you know, any of the restaurants that are in the area, and there's a nice bevy of them. You could just do a Yelp search, and pretty much you're guaranteed to have a good experience. But if you want to go to a supermarket and have that, well, right smack in the middle of Greenfield is Greenfield Co-op, and it's a co-op. It's a natural food store. They have a sitting area downstairs, and also above, there's stairs in the back area, and there's a whole huge area there to eat. They do have some Wi-Fi there, so that's kind of good, although who knows, it might be kind of maxed. And they have a nice bakery. They have a hot food, self-serve area, salad, and soups. Also some good coffee. So that's a good tip to just get some food to go, hot or cold. They also have another branch of the Greenfield Co-op that's based up in Shelburne Falls. But once you're out and about in Franklin County, you don't want to be thinking about, oh, I got to go back into town. You might miss a workshop that's happening right at that moment. So if you're a little bit prepared, you're going to have a lot more fun. And I really want to recommend this, whether you're coming into Boston, from Boston to Greenfield, or coming up from the Hartford Airport called Bradley Field, you'd kind of want to just beeline it into Franklin County and supporting a lot of the people, the business people, really makes it really worth their while too, because this is a big endeavor to take off. As far as set up, you know, prearranged meals, the big one happens on Saturday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. in Greenfield at the Second Congregational Church. It is on the schedule. It's called the Apple Pancake Breakfast, and there's a nominal charge for that. So you can load up on a nice apple pancake breakfast, but you're going to have to be beelining it to go right up to Pine Hill Orchard for an 8:30 in the morning beginner cider making workshop with Bob Delila and Charlie Olchowski, and that's a ticketed event. The other scheduled workshops start taking place at 9 a.m. in the morning. So think about that in terms of preparing yourself. Maybe you're going to be at a B&B where there's breakfast or staying at a hotel. Get out early. And one of my favorite places to go get breakfast when I'm in Greenfield is Denny's. And this is not a Denny's, the food chain Denny's. This is just a local restaurant called Denny's. It's up on Federal Street. I'll try to put a link in it. There's no website for it, but dang, you know, they could give you a solid classic American eggs, bacon, hash browns, toast, and coffee. Serve it quick, get in and out, and then start hitting the ground running to all the amazing workshops that you could take during cider days. From there, you're really going to have to be kind of strategized. You might even want to like pick out a restaurant for later on that evening on Saturday before or after the cider salon and see if you can make reservations, because there's going to be a lot of people in the area and places do load up quickly and it can be hard to get in. Although there's a lot of good options for doing takeout. And a big part of cider days around food, and I don't want to stress you on that at all, but a big part of it is just tailgating. And you don't have to necessarily go in and sit down at the restaurant, especially during the day. Tailgate. Have a bottle of cider. Call across to the car parked, you know, next to you or right across the grass field and say, hey, you want to try this? Make sure you have your cups and you're going to meet some friends, maybe make friends for life. Certainly be able to geek out on cider and all the beauty surrounding you. That is absolutely lovely. And if there's one thing that is my image of cider days, is that experience of the here, try this moment where people are just pouring cups of cider all over the back county roads and enjoying a sip here and there and, you know, sharing an apple with some cheese. There's just nothing better. That you want to make time for that experience. Stop at some moment, get out of the flurry of everything, go out, sit by one of the apple trees or sit out by the car at Apex Orchard, which is on Peckville Road. Gotta love that, right? That's going up on the Mohawk Trail towards Shelburne Falls. And the Apex Orchard has a brand new, I don't know, I guess a store you'd call it. It's not really a tasting room. They might have apple taste there, but the view, this has always been one of my favorite go-to spots, even before they built the tasting room, because it's this long, stunning road, and to the east you could see forever, and you could see Mount Monadnock in New Hampshire. It is spectacular. And now, right across the street is where West County Cider has moved to, and they have a tasting room. You know, that's going to be open. And last time I was there, there were two taps coming out. You could get some of the Redfield, and I'm not sure what's on the other tap, but that is a insider pro tip. Definitely go to those two locations. You will not be disappointed at all. And what a spot to tailgate. There's orchards on both sides of the road. You are just in Ciderville heaven on Peckville Road. Oh, yeah. So there's a lot to be had there. And if you go over to New Salem, which is on the east side of the Connecticut River at New Salem Preserves, they have all-day events there. Let me see. I'm looking at it right now. Well, what I know about New Salem Preserves is Carol B. Hillman is just an outstanding woman who brought back this colonial orchard. I've talked about it a million times on the podcast. I had her now deceased partner, Bob, on an early episode of Cider Chat I think that was episode 3. I'm building a cider house. It is a stunning. It's a stunning, stunning orchard. It overlooks the Quabbin Reservoir, which was flooded back during World War II. They took down like 3 or 4 towns to build a huge reservoir for Boston, and this colonial orchard overlooks it. And now they're making cider there. And she always has, well, they make cider. They make sweet cider, pressing that. It's a nice, fun family event, but they're now fermenting cider too. And I hooked her up with my friend William Grota that I mentioned a number of times on the podcast, and he is making cider at New Salem Preserves. Bongo zongo, that's just amazing. I feel, once again, like Cider Delilah for hooking those individuals up and making it so. So really excited about that. I have a feeling there's going to be cider available for sale from this amazing American Heritage Orchard. And that is a location that giant peri-pear tree sits in, very close by the cider house. So if you go, please go out and say hi to peri-pear. It is, I think, the largest peri-pear tree I've seen thus far in the U.S. It reminds me of being in Normandy. It's that big and that old. So go say hi to peri-pear for me. And there's another little peri-pear to the side, equally old, but kind of struggling away there. So really hoping that peri-pear survives. But Carol, I digress. Carol does always have some food there. She always has cider donuts, and hot soup is there. Sometimes they have other more kind of meaty products and different arts and craft things for sale. And they're pressing cider all day long. They have an outdoor fire, so it's a nice place to warm up, and a really warm, kind of family-friendly place. Typically, there's llamas outside. So if you have kids, New Salem Preserves is a nice stop to go. Get a gallon of their sweet cider. Ooh, you will not regret it. A lot of these places do have cider donuts. The first one that also comes to mind that I could guarantee is Pine Hill Orchard. And Pine Hill Orchard is right up in the smack of cider days. It always has been. And you really want to go and support them too. And they do have a restaurant there where you could get food. So you have a lot of good options for getting food. But my main pro tip is get some apples, get some cheese, have an extra sandwich or two just to keep you steady. And in between the traveling miles, and enjoy sitting out by an orchard or tailgating during cider days. So far, we've covered how you're going to get around, have you thinking about where you're going to stay, and some great options for food. Now we're going to talk about cider, and we're going to begin with making cider, because historically, that is the big reason behind cider days. It's part commercial and non-commercial, and it really started the push for people to get into cider because we were teaching people how to make cider 24 years ago, back when nobody really cared. And now we have a annual beginner cider making workshop, and that's taught by Bob and Charlie, and costs $85. It gives you everything you need for your first batch of cider, including the cider. And that's a pretty good deal when you think about it, when you're thinking about the vessel, putting it in, and all the little instruments and the yeast. But let's say that you have a kind of a good handle on that. Like some of the folks who come up from New Jersey, they travel all the way up to Franklin County with wooden barrels to fill up cider, because that is an option. At any of these orchards, you could buy cider, fresh pressed cider that is not pasteurized. It might go through a UV in a store or some kind of pasteurization, but they're selling directly to cider makers, because when you ferment cider into alcohol, you don't have to worry about that factor of if there's some kind of, you know, little wiggy thing in the fresh pressed juice. So they will sell directly to the cider makers. And the biggest place that does that during cider days is Pine Hill Orchards in Coleraine. And that is somewhere that you want to beeline to. They have a number of different tanks, and let me give you an idea of some of the blends. They have special cider blends. In the 300-gallon tank a year or so ago, they had Redfield, Rain de Palms, McIntosh, and Arkansas Black. That was 53% Redfield. And Redfield is really a nice cider apple. Another blend they had in the 800-gallon tank. So think about that. These are some big tanks. They're kind of like filling it up like you're going to the gas station with like a hose, a little spigot, and just going right into glass carboys. Make sure if you're bringing a glass carboy, have something that it could sit on. Like bring it in a milk crate because you're going to be putting it down on concrete floors and you don't want to like hit a little tiny grain of sand or something and shatter the glass. So be super careful about that. But this 800-gallon tank downstairs had Northern Spy, Ashmead, Golden Russet, Mutsu, Golden Delicious, and Rain de Palm. Sometimes they have just a Redfield blend, 100%. I think that happened a year or so ago. So there's a lot of different options for their blends on that day at Pine Hill, and they do have a bulk rate. The going rate for cider, sweet cider, that is, that I've been seeing is anywhere from like $7 to $10 per gallon. So it can get pricey, especially if you're new to cider making. That's a big investment to be throwing in there when you don't really know what you're going to make is going to come out well. Thus, another reason to attend Cider Days, because everywhere there are people talking and teaching how to make cider and really perfecting your skills from like baseline level to more advanced. In fact, that was my first way to get into Cider Days 24 years ago. For 17 years, I was teaching how to make Cider Days at this annual fest. And I learned a lot. It was a really baseline level course I was teaching, but I felt like, you know, like Johnny Appleseed, which brings me to Johnny Appleseed. You know, he was the fella who just started planting seeds going across the U.S. Well, he was born in Leominster, Massachusetts. So here's another pro tip for you. If you're coming in from Boston, you could stop and see Johnny Appleseed's little birth place. You could do that. It's not that big of a deal. But the bigger thing in Leominster is NFG Homebrewing Supplies. It is outstanding. This is a family-owned homebrew shop. It's on the second floor of Fran's parents' old place. I don't know, two-family home. Right on Leominster Common off to the side there. And it is a great, great homebrew shop at a time when a lot of homebrew shops across the nation are being swallowed up by multinationals. NFG is still right out there giving you some really good prices. So if you don't have yeast and some of your supplies, you could stop at NFG to visit them, or you could also go to their online catalog. And they're selling dry yeast. Yeast comes in two different packages, I guess you would say, both dry and liquid form. And I use a lot of dry yeast myself. In fact, I've had the Yeast Whisperer on and spoke to a lot of people about yeast. And the big difference is that the wet or the liquid yeast was just reconstituted, if you will, which is something that you could do. You could add some cider to it and make your own liquid yeast and sell a whole bunch of money. So they're selling packages of dry yeast for 99 cents, which is a killer price. And their liquid yeast, they're selling for like $7.99, which is also a really good price too. So that's an easy stop. They should be open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I even think on Sunday. I do have a link in the show notes to them, and you could check out their catalog. Really great people. It's where I go when I need to get my little corny kegs repaired or have some kind of like odd kind of question or equipment question for a tap system. They are outstanding, outstanding people. That's one homebrew shop on your way to Cider Days. It's kind of off the highway, off of Route 2. So if you're coming from Boston, you're going on Route 2, stop at NFG. Let's say you're coming from the south on Interstate 91 and going past Northampton. You could stop at Beerology, also a great homebrew supply store. They have liquid and dry yeast too, and supplies that you would need. Because you don't want to go to Cider Days thinking, I'm going to make cider. get some jugs and bring them home. And then it's like, oh crap, now I got to get yeast. So think ahead. Think now. Think today. Get off this podcast. Sign up for the New England Cider Tour. And also, order your yeast now so that you're prepared. Because once you come home, you don't want that cider sitting too long. Because all of a sudden, if you're going to be pitching yeast and not going wild, I do a little bit of both, by the way, the yeast will go wild. And then you got to let it go. And actually, that's not a bad thing to do. It's just not everybody knows how to handle that. So the funny thing about making cider is if you just keep it away from oxygen and you get a little airlock and let the CO2 release as it's fermenting and keep on topping it off, if you're losing any kind of liquid in distilling, they call that the angel's share in cider making. I just call it the loss. I'm not sure. I don't have any kind of witty name for it. I'll have to think of something next time I'm drinking cider. The main thing is always keep it topped off. And you're kind of good to go, even if it goes wild. But either case, you have two great homebrew supply stores coming in. Beer and Winemaking Supplies, which has been around for over 40 years in Northampton, has closed. Yet another sad passage of how things change over time. So do support your local homebrew shops as you can. So that's for making cider. And they're, you know, late season, November, you're going to have a very different apple profile than if you press early in September. I've done both, and the really great cider apples and varieties are really coming out in November. So if you could do that and go to Pine Hill, get there early, you're going to be squared away and have a really good rate on cider. Next, I'm going to take a little pause here, and I'm going to tell you where to get some commercial cider products in and around Franklin County and on your way to Cider Days. Grab a glass and join the chat. Well, that's the tagline for this here podcast, but it's also true when you attend Franklin County Cider Days. Now, I always recommend to have a glass ready to reach out when somebody says, hey, you want to try this? And get a little sip of their cider, typically homemade. And you learn so much when you drink all those homemade ciders. Ooh la la. But also, Cider Days itself sells a very nice stemmed glass for $5. And that allows you, when you're at any of these workshops that are taking place over Saturday and Sunday, and even on Friday night, to be able to partake. So let's kind of back up here a little bit. Remember, if you want to be drinking a whole bunch of cider and getting a nice taste of New England, you're going to sign up for the New England Cider Tour taking place on November 1st. And we're going to be getting growlers to go at Farnham Hill. Then come on Friday in the evening, you're going to be able to go to the Cider Schmooze, which is a new event. It's going to be happening at the Hawks and Reed Performance Center in Greenfield. That is free. And it's a cash and food bar. And you're going to be able to meet cider makers and authors. And that is a great opportunity. That's kind of what used to happen at the end of Cider Days, where we'd all kind of gather up at West County Cider in the back room with a big round of cheese and just start drinking and hanging out with all the regular cider makers. At this Cider Schmooze, we wanted to provide the opportunity to be able to meet face-to-face with some really outstanding cider makers. So if you're a cider maker coming and you haven't heard about this yet, make sure that you show up on Friday night at the Hawks and Reeds event. It's from 8 to 10, and it should be a really nice time. I'll be floating in there. And then I'm also going to be over at the Cider Pub Sing, which is free. That's also in Greenfield, too. It's at the Episcopal Church. They're letting us use the parish hall there. And also part of that is the pop-up cider pub, where you bring your own cider. So right smack, right in the beginning, you get the flavor, You're going to be able to purchase at Hawks and Reed. You're going to be able to bring your own cider to the cider pop-up and start sharing glasses. And be careful of cider, because one thing about U.S. ciders, they're high. I mean, high in ABV. They could be 6, 8% and kind of be a creeper buzz. So be careful of that. It's not like traveling in Normandy where you're drinking all day like 4% ciders and 3%, and they're like full mouth flavored and very low alcohol. Be careful, all right? Now, on Saturday, there's a lot of amazing workshops, and many of these also have tastings. Let's go through some of the first ones. The Beginner Cider Making Workshop is where you learn to make cider. And then if you go over to Shelburne Buckland Community Center, there's going to be a Cider and Oak with Ryan Monkman. And if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me talk about Ryan a couple times. I'm really thrilled that he's coming down from Ontario to talk about working with cider and oak. And he says he's going to have some cider to taste. And this is the guy who does the batonnage and comes from this very wine background. What he's doing with cider is really unique from the classic style of letting it just kind of go wild in a way. He's managing it with the oak and with his skills in winemaking and coming out with a cider that has a very nice mouth feel, is dry, still, and oh man, it just like pairs well perfectly with so many foods like turkey, those nice poultry meals. So he's going to be doing that workshop and having a tasting there. And then at Ryan and Casey's, there's going to be, and Ryan and Casey's is a liquor store, they're going to have a tasting of commercial ciders and Calvados. That should be interesting, right? And then there's also Home Cider Makers Tasting Ciders from the 17th Harvest. And that's going to be at the Shelburne Buckland Community Center. So another reason to have your glass there, because they're going to be tasting ciders during that workshop. So there's a lot going on there, a number of different events throughout the day, and you know there's going to be tailgating and cider, so definitely bring your glass. Then on Saturday, and I know as this podcast is going live on October 10th, tickets are still available for the Cider Salon. There's two sessions, and the salon is a cider tasting. I think there's 47 producers coming from all over the map, and they should be present at the table, maybe somebody pouring for them, and you might be able to have a time to talk to them. But you might not, because it might be crowded, which is another reason to go to that cider schmooze on Friday night, where it's not so crazy at a cider salon. But that is a ticket event. The cost of the ticket is $35, and you get to walk around and experience that. Now, that location for the cider salon this year is not, or I should say it's no longer out at Berkshire East, which is a ski hill. So if you haven't been to Cider Days for a couple of years, the venue has changed. And now it's in Unity Park in Turner's Falls, right alongside the Connecticut River, right alongside Turner's Falls, which is kind of like a mini Niagara Falls. It's spectacular. And Turner's Falls is kind of a hip old mill town that's been slowly resurrecting itself and has some nice, nice places to eat. The cider salon itself is in a giant tent. It worked really well last year, and it's kind of dreamy because it's dark out and it's lit up in the tent. You're walking on grass. It should be a really nice scene. So don't wait if you want to get in there and taste a whole bevy of ciders. Go to one of those sessions. The first session starts at 3:30 and goes to 5, and the second one is from 5:45 to 7:15. That is a lot of fun. I always make it to the Cider Salon, so I hope to see you there. That's the last event of the evening on Saturday. It gives you some time to chill out, meet up with your friends, maybe have a cider dinner with somebody special. I hope you will find that perfect location. I'm sure you will. Then on Sunday, in terms of finding cider, there's still a lot of workshops, and there's a number of events happening at the Deerfield Community Center. That's an old Deerfield right down the road from Greenfield, and these are amazing events that are happening. There's one is award-winning ciders. I actually think that was my idea. Ben Watson is manning that, but it was to taste what do top quality ciders taste like that some of these judgings competitions are doing? What does it taste like? So they have that. I think that's going to be Ben and Mike Beck from Uncle John's Hard Cider in Michigan. They're going to be talking about those award-winning ciders. And then another one is Newton Pippin. That's an apple variety. And I guess Darlene Hayes and Dan Pucci. Darlene's from California. Dan's from New York. And they're teaming up to do this presentation here. And I guess they're going to be talking about a number of different ciders that are make single varietal ciders made out of Newtown Pippin. Then there's also the Home Hard Cider Makers Workshop. That's out in New Salem Preserves with April Woodard. She took on that presentation that I was doing for so many years, and I'll tell you, that is always a place to have a glass, because a lot of people have been going to that workshop for years, like to bring last year's cider and share it, and it's a good time sitting out by the fire at New Salem Preserves. At 2:30 on Sunday, there's A Taste of Asturias. I think this is sold out. From the Orchard to the Sea with Begonia Medea and friends from northern Spain. I think they have somebody from the seafood scene. They have somebody, a cheesemaker. It should be fantastic. I don't think there's any more tickets left. So this is a little wink to you for next year. As soon as Saturday's tickets go out, buy them. Don't hesitate. You could probably always sell them afterwards if you can't go for some crazy reason. Then we're also going to see something with Matt Kaminsky. He is going to be at New Salem Preserves. He's going to be talking about his rare apple cider tastings and trials of an apple hunter. He and Al Sachs were doing a project called The Lost Apples of the Quabbin Reservoir, and I did have them on a podcast episode talking about that. I'm sure that's going to be very interesting. Matt's an awesome guy. He's online, known as Gnarly Pippins in social media. And then the last event of the day at Deerfield Community Center is cider and cheese pairing with Provisions of Northampton. And that is a cider tasting. Besides all the cider tasting that you're going to be tasting everywhere around the block, don't hesitate. This is going to be an amazing event. And when I come back, we're going to just have a little bit of a chat with Mark, who is a Cider Days competition director, because there is a competition for non-commercial makers that is part of Cider Days. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with that. Cider Days has a lot to offer, and one thing that many people don't realize is there is also a cider competition. Now, this is not open to commercial makers. It is only for folks who are non-commercial, or what they like to call amateur cider makers, which is always, actually, I feel kind of like a degrading way to be called amateur, especially since some of these makers, like myself, I've been making cider for a really long time. Maybe non-commercial. Anyways, I digress. It's just my little bone of contention out there in Ciderville. You know, there's got to be some things I could grump about. Suffice to say, I gave a ring to my buddy Mark, who is the director of this competition. It's now in its seventh year. And if you are coming to Cider Days, or you're in the stratosphere of Cider Days, meaning close by to one of the drop-off locations. There's one that's possibly going to happen out in Boston, definitely one at Cider Days, and one en route to Cider Days. You could do that really easily without having to ship your cider. So I rang Mark. We're going to talk to him next, and he'll give you a little bit of a backdrop. We're going to go right into talking about the best in show, and then following up with some of the logistics of the competition to give you a flavor of it and hopefully entice you to submit your ciders into Cider Days Amateur Cider Competition. Here's me ringing Mark, and we're going to go right into our conversation. And the entry fee is $7, and you could enter as many ciders as you want.
That's correct.
And the entry time is October 15th through November 16th. And the actual judging takes place on December 1st of this year. And if you want to become a judge or a steward, go to the ciderdayscompetition.org.
That's correct.
All right. That sounds great.
It's a closed judging. However, the best show, it is open. It's always hard to determine when that best of show judging takes place.
Yeah, normally later in the day.
Later in the day, yeah. Closer to, say, 3:30, 4:30 time frame.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, that's close to the end of the competition.
Okay. Well, Mark, planning on being there and judging this year, and I'm also hopefully going to be able to record at least like the best in show judging, so folks could kind of listen in. If they can't come to the event, they could listen and see how that's done. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Excellent.
I think that's a great idea because people don't really have, I know as a beer judge, when I've told people that, oh, I'm going to be at this competition and judging beer, they say, oh, you're just drinking beer all day. I said, no, I'm not drinking beer all day. This is actually hard work. You know, it takes a lot of concentration, and it's kind of wearing. And you know, Rhea, from your judging experience.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about judge panels is everybody's palate is slightly different, and there's certain things that people will pick up on that other people won't, and vice versa. So there's always a minimum of two judges per panel. Best of show panel usually has three or five judges. So when it gets to that level, when you get to the end for the let's put it this way, any of the ciders that are going into the best of show round, in my experience, they're all very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
And some are just, you know, it's crazy what people do. It's really, you know, I hate to say it, but one year we even had somebody enter a mason jar.
I love it. Well, that's, you know, what Cider Days is all about.
That's what Cider Days is all about.
I love it. Oh, that's great. And, you know, there's some really good homemade cider that's coming through all the time at Cider Days. Just amazing opportunity for people to taste it. Now, the actual competition, the day of the judging is going to be in December. Do you have that date set?
Yes, December 1st. It's always, the date's always set. Cider Days always happens on the first Saturday in November, and the competition is always set for the first Saturday in December, so it's 1 month later.
Alrighty, so just to fill in some of the little gaps here, this is called the Cider Days Amateur Cider Competition. Entries can now be sent or dropped off between October 15th and November 16th. You could bring them to Cider Days, and you'll see the locations to drop off then when you're arriving, so you don't have to ship it. And there's going to be some additional drop-off locations outside of Cider Days, too. So you're going to get all that info if you go to ciderdayscompetition.org. The actual judging takes place on December 1st in Deerfield, Massachusetts. I am planning on being there and judging, and as you heard, I will be recording the best in show so we could continue to unveil what really happens behind the scenes of these competitions, hopefully inspiring you to enter and to be informed on what qualities makes a good, proper, best of show cider. Let's see, one other thing. It only costs $7 to enter, so it's a good deal. When I return, I'm going to tell you some of my top picks that I'll be at during Cider Days and how you can meet up with me. Coming up here on the 1st of November, I'd love to hang out with you on the New England Cider Tour on November 1st. That is a Thursday, so you have to plan ahead. The registration for that ends on October 15th, so it's a very small window of time. You have plenty of time on the forefront to make plans. Now's the time to get definitive, because I cannot make any promises after that. It is going to be a heck of a time. It's a righteous deal at $130 to have your meals, your lunch, and a cider dinner with top-level pioneering makers in the U.S. What can I say about that? I mean, it's like a no-brainer, right? It's time well spent. And what a way to kick off the rest of the weekend. So I'd love to hang out with you. Go to ciderchat.com and the Totally Cider page. You can get the reservation info there. Then, on November 2nd is the official kickoff day for Franklin County Cider Days. You could bet your bottom dollar I will be at the Cider Schmooze for a bit, right in Greenfield, and then heading over to the church right down the road for the Cider Pub and Sing. I hope to have a Cider Chat table there with some swag to meet you, to say hi. And of course, it's a BYOC, because you know I'm going to be bringing some of my cider to share. That would be really fun to pour in your cup and say, here, try this. Some of my favorite words. Then on Saturday, I will be at the Shelburne Buckland Community Center. I want to catch Claude Jacquelaire. He is the author of the new Cider Maker's Handbook, a well-known author in that way. And he's giving a talk on his travels to the birthplace of apples, which is Kazakhstan. That starts at 9:15 in the morning. Then I'm going to be recording the panel of women talking about sex in the cidery. And that's not just sex. Don't let your mind go there. I know it's all about the apple. I think it's a little bit about sexism in the cidery. So that should be very interesting and informative. And hopefully I'll be able to put that out as an episode on Cider Chat coming up. At 12 noon, I am going to be introducing Ryan Monkman of Fieldbird Cider, based in Prince Edward Island in Ontario. And he's talking about cider making and oak. And Ryan is a good speaker. He's going to bring cider for us to taste. It should be a very, very informative chat. You could check out his episode. I will put a link to that in the show notes, or you could just Google Cider Chat, Ryan Monkman, Barrels and Batonnage. I will definitely be at the Cider Salon. I think it's going to be the second session for sure that I'll be at the Cider Salon. Do not hesitate to come up and say, hey, Rhea, what's going on? How you doing? And we could have a moment to raise a glass and say cheers. I would love that. On Sunday, I'm definitely going to go out to Buckland to E. and J. Scott Orchard, because Colin Scott of E. J. Scott Orchards is doing a workshop on learning to graft. And I recorded an episode with Colin a while back. The guy could talk about grafting with his eyes closed. And he was like born and raised in an apple orchard, and he knows all about it. That starts at 10 a.m. If you want to learn from a real master, go to this workshop. This is the first time he's ever offering this, and I think it's going to be so worthwhile. I hope he gets to do it every year. I don't know. So it might be a one-shot deal in that way. Then there's also at Apex Orchard, I'm going to be going to Bring Your Own Tasting Homemade Ciders, because I've never been able to go to that workshop. All these years, for 24 years, I've never been able to go to that. So I'm definitely planning on doing that. And then making my way out to Nalem, New Salem. Let me try that again. Making my way out to New Salem Preserves in New Salem. There's a couple things happening there. It's going to be a very full weekend. Make sure that you take care of yourself, pace yourself. And one of the biggest tips I'm going to give to you is coming right up. You might think the number one tip is to go to this restaurant or to try that cider or to make sure that you see this. Well, actually, that is just part of the picture. The main picture for me, for you, to attend any Cider Fest, and particularly this Cider Fest, which takes place over a number of days, is to pace yourself and to do that with a bottle of water by your side. And I don't say that as someone who's like, you know, oh, you got to watch out and don't catch a buzz, because I like catching a buzz as anyone else. But I also know that my body really needs water. So if you don't have somebody who's whispering in your ear and saying, don't forget your water, dear, I'm going to be that person for you. And making sure that you remember now to put that on your little to-do list to bring a bottle to pick up water. In fact, we have some of the best water around in this county. So don't be afraid to try the tap and fill up your water bottle when you're at Cider Days. And I guarantee you, you will have a better time and be able to get up early the next day and keep on charging through the weekend. That is my pro tip, something I've learned all these years covering the world of libations. And if there's anything that I think is the most important thing to do, it would be that for every glass that you couple that with a glass of water and dilute, dilute, and keep yourself hydrated. Well, that's that for Cider Days. And thanks again for all the patrons that help support this podcast every single week. You really help make it so. I haven't had a new patron in a while, so maybe you out there in Ciderville are the next one to sign up. Just go to the Cider Chat Patreon page and do that today. Thanks to the following commercial makers who do support the Cider Going Up campaign on the Cider Chat Patreon page, and that is Current Cider in Pennsylvania, Ironbark Cider Works in Claremont, California, Ross Cider and Perry Company in Herefordshire in the UK, NMR Processing Services in Connecticut doing cider analysis, and Remborn Cider Company in Luxembourg. Without your support, this podcast would not be possible. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.